a hobby knife is probably the first scale modeling tool you ever purchased. This week we chat with Alan Iwig from Excel Hobby Blades. Which means it's time for the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour, talk radio for scale modelers. Sponsored by Grex Airbrush, the evolution in perfection. This is episode number 53, published January 30th, 2013. We'll meet Alan right after this message from our sponsor, Grex Airbrush. If you're like me, you want an airbrush that is reliable, easy to clean, and more importantly, comfortable in your hand. One that is intuitive to use, which gives you greater control as you apply paint to your model. Whether you have excellent dexterity or have stiffness and limited mobility, then the Grex Tritium series is something you need to experience for yourself. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who find the pistol grip and trigger action design the answer whether doing fine, delicate work or spraying broad strokes to cover large areas. Grex offers a full line of airbrushes, spray guns, compressors, paints, and accessories. Grex Airbrush is the evolution in perfection. Find out for yourself by visiting them online at grexairbrush.com or by calling 626-289-7618 today. Well, joining me this week is my good friend, longtime friend, Alan Iwig from Excel Hobby Blades. Alan, welcome to the show, and you know, probably the first purchase any hobbyist makes, whether they build scale models or other things, is a hobby knife.
Yeah, I believe you're right. First you gotta get the model, and then you better have a knife close to you so you can work on that model.
Well, how long has Excel been providing the tools that we hobbyists enjoy using?
Excel, the company itself, started in the late 80s. And has been continuing to grow ever since. Actually, the history of Excel dates back before that. The owner of Excel, Mike Hamann, started another company and worked for them together in developing that company. And as with many different organizations, there were some disagreements with the owners and Mike. Mike wasn't one of the owners, so he went out on his own and started Excel. And he had an idea of staying with quality and price as a major objective to the company. And as time went along, the company grew and grew and grew. And as so many times happens, he ended up buying out the other company about 6 or 7 years ago, and now they're a division of ours.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it really is. It's very interesting to see the history of Excel and how it has developed and grown. And actually, we are the only manufacturer of hobby knives and blades that is left manufacturing in the United States. All the others have gone offshore and manufacture. Now, when I say that, there's, as I mentioned, there is actually another division of ours, and again, their line is made in the U.S., but it's under Excel.
Okay. Now, you've been around the hobby industry for a long time. You've been at the distribution level.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us a little bit about your history involvement with the hobby industry?
Well, it's sure going to tell my age. I started in the 60s working in a hobby shop, and I worked there for about 12 years, and then moved to a distributor in California. Actually, it was California Hobby Distributors, and was sales manager there and left after 25 years to go to work for Excel. And that's where I am now. So, and I've been with Excel for about 18 years now. So,
the nice thing is you're still friends with your previous employer. I've actually met your boss.
Oh, yes. It was like family. It was very, very hard leaving the organization because it was a family-run organization. It was a great organization, wonderful people. And it was very hard leaving, but we had an opportunity to move out of the California area and move up to the state of Washington. My wife works for a company called World Vision, so we had a chance to come up with them, and it was a chance to find out if there really is four seasons to a year or not. And moving up here, we did realize that there is rain and, and there are four seasons.
Let's talk a little bit about the different hobby knives that Excel offers, and then we'll talk more specifically about the different types of blades. Again, your company produces products not just for plastic scale milers, but all hobbyists, whether it's a wood carver, whether it's a person who builds RC models, car models, regardless of the hobby or even the trade in a lot of cases, you produce tools to meet their needs.
Yes, that's very true. In fact, beyond that, our line is carried throughout many industries, not only the hobby and craft industry, but we do industrial hardware, and we sell to many manufacturers out of the U.S. Canada has one of them is an aircraft manufacturer in Canada that we sell to also. So it's actually used in many, many different areas, not just the hobby industry, but the hobby industry is where we based our start, and it is the prime industry for us.
Now, we're talking knives that are designed for cutting box cutters. We're talking, utility knives that you'd use in construction, paint scrapers. I mean, just about anything that has a blade, you produce the knife and the blades for. But let's kind of focus in on the type of knives that we as scale modelers would use. The number 11 blade and handle, you know, that we always see on somebody's bench. I mean, that's probably, like I said, one of the very first purchases.
Right.
Your company produces several different versions. You can spend a little or you can spend a lot. You know, you have a price point to meet for each scale level. The beginner just trying it, all the way up to somebody who really demands quality in their hand when they're building.
That is correct, yeah. There is, actually, in the basic handle, the number one handle, there's probably a half a dozen variations of that. It starts with the standard one that we all know and have used for a long time, and that's the metal-handled number one knife. And then they go into a type that has a pocket clip on it. So if you want to carry it with you that way, we have ones that are soft grip, a little more comfortable for using in the hand with a rear release. And then we also have one that is used for the art industry. So, but they're all using the number 11 blade, and various other blades will fit into it, and the standard handle. Now, the difference between ours and most of the others on the market is our number 11 blade, and we're the only one that does this, is double honed. It's sharpened twice on each side. Most blades are only sharpened once, but we actually run it through another process that adds another honing to it that makes it extra sharp. And the other thing is we use a four-jaw machine chuck, and a lot of companies use a two-jaw cast, so it makes the blade more secure.
And talking about securing the blade, now there's typically two types, and it's available, again, in your products, light-duty application versus the heavy-duty, is you have the handle, you have the jaw, and then there's a collar that you loosen and tighten to clamp the blade in. Now, some of them, the lighter-duty ones, tend to be down at the blade end of the handle, which gives you a nice knurled grip to hang on to. But then the other type are the ones that the tensioner is at the back of the handle, which is one I prefer because I can really really crank on that and get it tight. I mean, you don't really have to crank. I shouldn't use that phrase, but you tighten it and it stays put. You don't have to worry about that blade getting wobbly in the handle when you're really putting pressure on it, cutting through something pretty thick.
Right. That is one of the, that's the soft grip handle that you're referring to. And it, that's true. It releases the blade from the back of the handle instead of the tip. And that makes it easier to tighten the blade. The other thing is the four-jaw chuck will actually clamp down and hold the blade tighter. When you have a machine chuck, it stays secure much tighter. A cast chuck will, after a while, start to loosen up because of it is not machined. It's just a cast, and the blade moving back and forth will start wearing that chuck down. So with a machine chuck, you've got a much more secure blade. And that's true with all of our handles, be it the number one, the two, or the five, or any of the others in the line. They all use machine chuck.
And another thing, if anybody's looking at the store display, whether at their local hobby shop, at a craft store, and even Excel Hobby Blades and Tools can be found at a lot of hardware retailers. So it's not like you got to go to a specialty shop to find them. They're available pretty much everywhere. And now for those guys that are in the United States, one of the biggest retailers in the nation, Hobby Lobby, I believe has almost the full line of Excel products.
Yes, they do. they do a tremendous job with the line, and they do specialize in handling the whole line. Most of the time, if you go into a Hobby Lobby and you don't find the product, they can get it for you. It's they are one of the major hobby stores that do handle the line. But all of your hobby shops do carry our line. It's something we're very thankful for, that the hobby industry has come on very strong with our line. We've worked very closely with them, and you can find it just about in any hobby shop you walk into.
Let's talk a little bit about the blades. You mentioned the double hone, which gives a keener, sharper edge. And also the material, the metal that you're using, also provides good strength and is the type of metal that holds an edge. Now, I know there, as you say, there's other companies out there producing blades. You know, they're out there to make a buck, and a lot of times they're using inferior materials. You know, sometimes you get what you pay for. In this case, you may be paying for a lot less than the price that they're charging is worth, because if you use it once and it's dull, what's the point of having it?
Well, that's very true. And one of the things about the 11 blade that makes ours a little different than a lot of them on the market is we use only a very high quality carbon steel, except we do have a number 11 blade in stainless steel also. But carbon steel is our major steel that we use. And the thing that we get the most comments about is that our tip will not break off. A lot of them, if you just start applying a little pressure to the tip, it snaps right off. And ours will hang in there a lot longer than most any of the blades on the market. And that is due to this quality of steel we use. And then the double honing, again, on the number 11 makes it extremely sharp.
You know, and I can attest to that. I abuse my blades. Unfortunately, you know, when I acquire them, I don't buy just the typical five-pack, which most people starting out in the hobby would get. I get them in the larger bulk packs because, you know, I like to have a sharp blade, and it pays to always have that sharp blade in your knife. I mean, if you're spending, you know, $12 to $20 on a decal sheet, it makes sense to use a fresh blade so that you're not ripping and tearing. You want to be cutting and slicing.
Right, that's very true. There is a lot of processes that are coming out, coatings for blades, that will extend the life. But again, you have, and then it increases the price over and over and over again. We have done some studying on this, looking into it, and we found that most hobbyists, as you said, want a really sharp blade. And by using a new blade, you're going to have that extremely sharp all the time. Whereas if you take one that has a coating, it still will lose its sharpness, but the overall length of time that it lasts will be a little longer. But you pay 3-4 times as much for a blade like that. And the major problem is the tip may break off, and then you've lost your advantage. So we have found that by just staying with the blades, keeping them at a very reasonable price, and having the ability to switch blades whenever you need is more economical.
Now let's just talk a little bit about coatings. Now, typically the things that we see coated are drill bits. I mean, they use different types of materials to coat drill bits because that particular bit is used for a specific application. I know they have coatings for specifically for drilling through stainless steel. The coating itself is to help the bit dissipate heat as well as reduce friction. Now, when you think about using it in our realm of scale modeling, what are we typically doing? We're not using this tool under a lot of pressure for a long time. What we're cutting isn't usually more thicker than, you know, the honed edge of the blade. If you're cutting through large, you know, thick sheets of plastic, it's not, you're pausing between strokes as you're scoring, you know, in preparation to snap the plastic. So really, you're paying extra for something that you don't need.
Well, that's very very true. And as I say, we did quite a bit of research on this, looking at these new coatings, and they come out quite often. There's a new process of coating a blade, and new chemicals that are used on them. And we have found that, again, it just, the amount that it costs to do it isn't worth the blade being used for that process, because, as you said, we don't use the blades the same as we do drills and so on. So it is very, it's more economical by far to keep an extra blade nearby. And you'd be surprised how long our blades last. I get, when we do trade shows, I get comments constantly on from dealers and hobbyists, at how long they last and how pleased they are with the blades. It's it makes us feel good that we are producing a product that the hobbyist is using and likes. We also, one of the other things I think that I should note at this time, is that we have a wide variety of blades. There's just not, you know, the normal number 11 blade and the 10 blade, which is a curved. We probably have, between 30 and 40 different style blades that can be used in the handles. Even for the number 2 and number 5, there's wood carving blades that fit in those, and even the razor saws fit in the number 2 and number 5 handles.
And, you know, like you said, different blades for different purposes. You've got assorted gouges. So, you know, visit excelhobbyblades.com. It's the website for Excel Hobby, and you can actually look at all the different tools they have and, you know, see pictures of the different blades. You know, over the years, and I've been modeling for a long time, I have acquired a lot of different blades. And it may be that you only use a particular blade for one specific application, but when you have that blade for that application, it makes the process a whole lot easier, and it's a very small investment.
Yes, exactly. You think of what you pay for a model, the blades and your tools actually are going to make that model look sharper, and then the construction of it will be better if you use good quality tools. And again, this is one of the things that most hobbyists have found, is the products that we manufacture, not just the knives and blades, but we do pliers and many other items, razor saws, miter boxes, and things like that, that are very useful in the hobby industry. So they find that by using our products, it makes their model building experience much more enjoyable.
Now, again, you do a lot of tools. And recently on the Squawk Box, I reviewed a swivel vise, a benchtop clamp-on swivel vise that you sent me to do a review on. And I tell you what, I don't think I've had a bad tool from you. Everything that you've sent has, I found that it has multiple tasking uses. The more you explore some of the features and benefits of the Excel products, the more you appreciate having them. And then, you know, when you go out and you buy these things and you look and you say, wow, it does all these things. I didn't really I just wanted something to hold a clamp. But when you see that it does other things, it just makes that tool even more appreciative.
Well, the device that you're mentioning has it has become very, very popular. And again, it's a 360-degree swivel vise, so you can use it in many different angles. So it's just not a vise that is used for normal one position working on. You can move this around to make it accessible for your model to for the ease of work. Very well constructed. It's not the kind of thing that's gonna be there for a short time. It's a lifelong purchase that's gonna be there for a long, long time. And it is something that, again, we try and do with all of our tools before we put them out on the market. We want to make sure that their quality is there. And we actually send it out to different organizations like you, get feedback. In fact, I remember, if I can drop a little example here, a few years ago we were looking at a new pin vise. And I believe I sent you one, and you found that the chucks weren't quite the quality that they should be, and that pin vise never did hit the market because we didn't feel it was the quality that it needed to have our name on it. So we're very careful about what we do bring out and do quite a bit of testing on it. In fact, if I can sort of update a little bit, we are working on a new third hand right now. And this one, I think, is going to really... So we have showed it at several trade shows, gotten feedback on it, but it is done up so well. It's actually got two flexible arms on it that are sort of like the gooseneck that lamps use, only much thinner. And then it's got a magnifier on the top that comes over it, and inside the magnifier there are two LED lights. And this can be used either on a bench sitting by itself, or if you want to fold the legs back and it has a clamp on it that you can clamp on a bench. And this one we're probably looking at bringing out in late April. And I go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm looking forward. We've talked about this previously, right, in our conversations. And this is something I applaud manufacturers that do this. They listen to the consumer. They listen to the people they send review samples out. And even you know, we talked about this this benchtop vise, and, you know, I pointed out a couple things that I'd like to see it do, and you listened. I'm no doubt in my mind that some of these suggestions will be incorporated in rolling production changes of the product.
We plan, that's one of the reasons I think one of the main reasons we have so many different number one knives, is we keep getting feedback from people saying, oh, we'd like to see it do this, or we'd like to have this. And so we do, number one knife is basically, they're all the same except for the different soft grips and the pocket clip type and so on. We always listen to see if there's something we can better our product. That is a major goal of our company, that we want to make sure that we have the product that the hobbyist and craft builders always have the product that they need in hand. Going back to this third hand, we did discover a weak point on it, and that actually it was due out the first of the year, but because we found a weak point on it, we've had to go back and have the manufacturing take care of this problem. And it has put it off a little bit, but it will, when it hits the market, we know it will be very well made and with no problems that will come out of it.
Your tools are priced at different price points based on quality, but if you're a novice modeler or a advanced modeler, the tools that you acquire are going to serve you well.
I believe that we are probably setting new standards in the industry for quality. It's something we've tried to do for a long, long time, is whenever we can raise that bar, we'll do it. And yet the prices are always probably, I would say, minimal for the products compared to the others. We do everything we can to hold the prices down, and being able to manufacture at our own plants here in the U.S. is a benefit to that. because through the years we've been able to increase the amount of tooling we have and everything, and we don't have to have the import duties, the shipping cost and everything, because they're all made right in New Jersey.
And there's a lot of times that you're looking for a tool that I wish they would make this. I've discovered, before I say that, I always need to go look at your website or pick up the phone and call you, since we're friends, and say, do you have this? And it's like, yes, we do, or let me see what I can find. You know, you're going to go out and see if there's something that may be out there that we're just not aware of. And a couple of years ago, I was in the process of trying to repetitively cut a lot of thin strips of masking tape for something I was needing to mask. And I'm like, you know, sitting there with a straight edge ruler and a number 11 blade and measuring slice. It got to be really frustrating and time consuming. And then you suggested, hey, check out our dual flex cutter set. The job literally became super easy. Sped up the production of cutting these little strips times four. It was just great.
Yes, that was one that, again, it's very strange how many industries we have found that used in. We originally designed it for the hobby industry for cutting strips, you know, for plastic modeling, decaling, and then also it was used in the radio control airplanes for cutting strips of covering materials. And then it went into the art industry, and now we find it in the major industrial manufacturers that use these. And the sign companies also use them an awful lot. So it's a product that, as you said, it started out with somebody at one of the shows just making a comment, it's too bad you can't make a knife that has two blades on it. And before we knew it, the owner was in the shop making one of them. So these kind of things that I want to encourage the hobbyist to let us know what kind of tools they're looking for, what kind of innovations that they've come up with that we can help them with and get into the manufacturing end of it. Because there's no better assistance to us than the hobbyist.
And again, I love a tool that multitasks. You know, I've used this probably tool more for another purpose than what it was intended for, and that is using it as a precision measuring device. Usually you'd be wanting to use a caliper, but, you know, in scale modeling, things get very small. And by just adjusting the nut and adjusting those blades how far apart they are, I can go and put it on a drawing or on another model and adjust it so, okay, this panel line is this far from another one, and set the jaws at the right spacing, and then transfer that to the project that I'm working on. Because what's more pinpoint than the tip of a very sharp number 11 blade?
Right, right. That's exactly right. As you say, the more we have many of the trade shows we do, we'll have people come up to us and say, I use it for this, and we sort of, it's something we never even thought about using some of the tools that they found uses for. So it's constantly, as you say, developing into just many, many, many uses. We found that with the, we have a set of burnishers and awls and pounce wheels that we found constantly different uses. When the rub-off decals came out, the burnishers became a very popular item. Before that, they were used for tooling and leather and copper and things like that. So all of a sudden, something develops, and this tool fits right into it. And even with the pounce wheels, which were, again, designed for leather and copper tooling and different types of metals, hobbyists have found being very useful for doing riveting on models.
Again, there's a lot of times you'll see on the modeling forums, you know, somebody's looking for a resource for numbered drill bits, those little teeny tiny, you know, some of these are no thicker than a human hair.
Oh, they're wonderful. You lose them so easily.
You lose them so easily, or they you get a little carried away and you start drifting from side to side and you break one. But, you know, you offer anywhere from a 12, 20 piece set with a number of drill bits. And if you're really, really in production modeling,
you know, you actually have a full display with 360 pieces. You can meet their needs.
The most popular one, and it's probably the one that has every hobbyist has seen, is the drill dome, and it has 20 drills in it with a little plastic dome that fits over the top, that and also notes the sizes on the base of it. And that one has been so popular for the hobbyist. I mean, I would say almost every hobbyist eventually will have one of those sitting on their table. And the nice part about it is, if you do lose or break one of the drills, you can replace them individually. You don't have to say, well, that set's lost, I got to go get another one. That's not necessary, because the drills are available individually. So you've got a set that's good forever.
More of the program right after these messages. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour has been generously supported by Excel Hobby Blades, manufacturer of the world's finest blades. When you need a keen and accurate cut, trust only Excel Hobby Blades. Visit your local hobby, craft, or hardware retailer for a complete selection of blades, handles, and tools today. Excel Hobby Blades, Paterson, New Jersey.
You're listening to the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour, talk radio show for scale modelers. This is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump. If you love listening to music from the 30s and 40s and 50s, Big Band era music while you build, click on the BBJ icon here on the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour homepage, and you'll be able to listen to the latest edition of Big Band Jump. It starts whenever you click in, 24 hours a day.
VideoWorkbench.com is the place to learn to build and paint model kits like an expert. Hosted by award-winning hobbyist and owner of Video Workbench, Jason Garris, his videos show how to achieve top-quality, contest-winning results and demonstrates how anyone can make great-looking scale model kits no matter the age or skill level. Join VideoWorkbench.com and Jason Garris on Facebook, YouTube, Blip.tv, and iTunes to learn the latest tips, tools, and techniques.
That's right, Chippy. Zuron tools are the perfect choice for our hobby and craft projects. They are made here in the USA. They are quality tools that offer the highest precision as well as comfort and durability. Let's not forget about their excellent warranty. Yes, Chippy, you have your own special needs, which Zuron Tool provides the best and most affordable solution for. And we know you demand only the very best. Zuron Tools are available from most hobby and craft stores. Visit Zuron.com today. Zuron is spelled X-U-R-O-N. We want to thank Zuron Tools for being a supporter of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Now more of my interview with this week's guest.
Needing to replicate that wavy demarcation line between the top camouflage of an aircraft and the lighter colored belly. And, you know, you sit there and you try and you draw that out on a piece of tape and then you cut it by hand. Well, lo and behold, it just happened to be that the model that I was working on, I looked and you guys also produce a rotary cutter and you have a wavy wheel.
Right, right.
And that wavy wheel actually, and I ain't going to say it's exact, but it was close enough for my purposes. I was able just to use a straight edge as a guide and zoop down that piece of tape, and it was all cut. And I was reproduce that as many times as I wanted. Again, the right tool for the right job.
There again is a matter of how funny it is that the different industries find tools that can be used in the hobby industry. That was originally designed for the craft industry, using on scrapbooking and quilting. And then all of a sudden, hobbyists found it in craft stores and started using it in their line of tools. And now it's very, as you said, it's very popular for cutting. A circular cutter is very, rotary cutter is very, very useful and easy to use. And again, they generally have stainless steel blades, so they'll last quite a while. One thing I do want to clear up, Gerald, I keep mentioning that our products are made in the U.S. When I say that, I need to clarify that. We still bring some tools in from offshore. Unfortunately, to manufacture some of the tools is just prohibitive. Things like tweezers and clamps and things like this, and pliers. We do a lot of research, find quality ones, but we do bring those kind of things in from offshore. I would say we manufacture about 70% of our line in our own plant. But to round out our line, we do bring some tools in from offshore. So I don't want people to think that everything that we manufacture is made in the U.S. We do have to be careful. And the other thing we have to, during, you know, with this day and age, a lot of new innovative products are being made in other countries, and we got to keep our eyes open for those too.
And again, you, as we've talked before in the past, you do come up with a conception, and then you do source that manufacturing. They're building it for you to your specifications.
Right, right. Once we find a product, we look at it, and if it is something that we feel will fit into the line, we do some testing on it and then go back to the manufacturer and make sure that it will meet our specifications. A lot of times, and there are several other things that have to be involved there. It's got to be a company that we can depend on that will manufacture under those qualities for a long period of time. A lot of times companies start up, come out with a product, and by the time they start shipping, it's a completely different product. So we can't deal with those kind of companies. We got to be careful who we deal with and make sure that they're a reputable company and one that can supply for a long period of time. We also take a lot of their products and then do our own modifying on them. One of the things that we did recently, which was, it was one of those no-brainer type things, but it's funny that, to my knowledge, I don't believe anybody's done it, and that's our cutting mat. And cutting mats are a very useful item for the hobbyist. It saves a lot of tables and probably a lot of marriages. guys are cutting on the dining room table, and that can cause some real problems. Well, you get a cutting mat, put it on there, and it's the kind of thing that will just, they're called self-healing. It's a sort of a description, but to be honest with you, there is no such thing as a true self-healing mat. They will eventually, through a period of time, cut, and you will need to either replace it or cut in a different area. I'm thinking also of if you're using soldering, you can heat them and burn them and things like this. Well, for years and years, people have used these. They're great. They're wonderful, and we've had people comment how wonderful they are. They're incremented in both inch and metric, and then we have angles on them too. So if you want to cut an angle, the angles are already drawn on the mat. But one of the things that we use is a three-ply mat. And being a three-ply mat, it gives you much more surface to work with, and it's will not warp like a lot of them. And as we were looking at these, we thought, wait a minute. Why not print the same on the front side, on the back side? And therefore, you are getting twice the use out of the mat. When you finally get to the point where you've probably got some cyanoacrylate glue on it, and you can't get that off, and you might have had some burn spots, you just flip it over and use the other side now. And we are incrementing this into all of our mats, that they will be printed on both sides. So you'll get twice the life out of them. The only ones that will not have this feature are the transparent, the clear ones. And the reason for that is you don't want the same thing on the backside, only the opposite. Because a lot of people use them for light boxes, the clear ones.
Yeah, that would be good, kind of confusing.
Oh, that will really confuse you. I'll tell you, you're going to have many unhappy people. So that's the only ones that do not have that feature. But as we are producing the new mats, they will all be printed on both sides. And this is to extend the life and of the mat, and that, therefore it's a cost saving for the hobbyist.
And we know modelers tend to be very frugal.
Well, I don't think it's just modelers nowadays. I think we all are looking at how we can get the most for our money.
Yeah, in my hand right now, I'm holding one of the 4-inch by 4-inch green mats. These are available in different colors. You offer several different colors. So you know, not stuck with something. I mean, if you're colorblind and you don't see green, maybe a green mat is probably hard for you to locate in your on your bench. But again, yeah, there's three laminations. There's a thick centerpiece that is rigid to keep it hold its flatness and shape. But the different sizes that you offer, like this little 4-inch one, this one I can either slip in my pocket or it goes in my portable scale modeling toolbox that I take, you know, if I go to meetings or to shows and I want to have something handy. I have some that are dedicated just for the purpose of trimming tape on because I don't necessarily want tape residue getting on a decal. So I have those ones for doing decaling only. And then I have the ones that are just a utility mat that I cut everything on. And again, they do wear out. And if you're cleaning them, and I mean, all you need to do is use a, you know, whatever you're cleaning your workbench with, as long as it's not a strong solvent, because a strong solvent will take the imprinted markings off the face of the mat. But, you know, wipe it down. You can wash it with mild soap and water, some dish soap. Let it dry. They will dry out over time. I mean, it is a synthetic material. And like anything, over age, it becomes brittle. And when it starts to do that and it's not healing anymore, as they say, when you cut it with a knife, it's time to replace it.
Right.
And they're not that expensive.
No, they're really not. And then with this printing on both sides, again, we're developed a way that the hobbyist now can just flip it over and use it. Because the outside surfaces are individual to the middle section. The middle section, which is, as you said, is a harder core to help it so it doesn't warp, then the outside surfaces are laminated to that. So you actually don't cut straight through to the other side. And therefore, you've got a completely fresh surface on the backside. And now with all the increments and the measurements being put on both sides, it's going to give twice the life out of a mat. And these are things, again, that we try to look into, see if we can develop, you know, manufacture something that's a little bit different than the others to help the consumer.
Well, again, I've always been very pleased with the products, and anything that, you know, I felt there any bit of a concern about, I was able to talk to you and say, hey, what about this? And, you know, you've made good. We've actually... I think we've had one item that was defective. You replaced the item without, blinking. And, of course, you took that defective item and said, well, I need to know that these things are, you know, making their way into the out there to the public, out to the consumer. And you found an issue, you corrected it.
Well, we do have a policy that if anybody receives a product and if it is not meet their standards, let us know, and we will replace it. It's something that we don't even question anymore. We get so very, very few that when something does pop up, and as you said, if something does pop up and it's a manufacturing problem, we need to know that immediately because we don't want these kind of products out on the market. Fortunately, with our company, it's staying a family organization. The owner of the company, Mike, has worked with his son and trained him and to follow in his footsteps, and he's doing a tremendous job. His son, his name is Hanny, is doing a wonderful job coming up with a lot of new ideas, new concepts, and fortunately bringing our company up to date on computers and communications and things like that. We're a new generation. We needed to bring us along that way, and he's doing a great job in that. So the company is in good hands for years and years and years to come.
Well, let's shift gears here a little bit. Yeah, you've been around the industry for a long, long time. You've seen the good. You've seen the bad. Where do you see the industry going in, say, the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, first of all, this is where I'd like to commend you. I think that your program is developing a whole new group of modelers. We have been through the video game era, and we're the modeling era sort of took a step back, and video games came in, and we lost over a generation of modelers. And I think because of your work, what you're doing, you're developing the interest and the a group of people who can fill that now and start doing it. And I know when I was growing up, my son was growing up, there was nothing more satisfying than to sit down with my son and build a model and then go out and fly it or whatever, if it was a model railroad, run it on our layout, whatever it was. The enjoyment of building it and then using it was just, you know, it was a father-son type thing that just a video game can't do. It just can't do. I had, if you don't mind me digressing here a little bit, I was at a trade show, and the young man came by our booth, and this is sort of a sad story, but it's one that sort of typifies of what we went through for a period of time. And he was standing there off to the side, and we were demonstrating our knives and how to use them and this kind of thing. And finally, I looked over and I said, "Can I help you?" And he says, "What do you use those for?" And I said, "Well, you build models with them." And he said, "Build models?" And I said, "Yeah, you can take it." And I explained to him that my son and I used to build control line airplanes. Boy, I'm getting in the Wayback Machine. And control line airplanes. And we'd build them and then rubber-powered airplanes. And we'd go out and fly them. And he was just, his eyes were getting bigger and bigger. And he said, "You mean you build it and actually fly it?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. And he looked over at his dad, and he says, "Dad, can we build a model together?" And this is one of those sad parts. And he goes, "No, you have a video game at home. You can use that." And
that holds true. I mean, it's the excuse I don't have time.
Right. I think the one thing we need to realize is that model building is not only enjoyable to the person that's doing it. It's a time to get together with if it's your son, daughter, or it could even be just a bunch of pals that are around. What a great time it is to do that and get that, build that relationship. But you were asking about where I see the industry, and I think the more we see this coming on, like programs like you have, and the manufacturers stepping out and letting people know this again, I think the industry is going in the right direction. I know the Hobby Manufacturers Association is extremely hard pressed to make sure that this is part of the direction they go, letting people know about the hobbies and putting on shows that people can come to and see this. So I feel as though we're going in the right direction, but we did sort of make a U-turn about 10, 15 years ago when all this video gaming came out, and I think the modeling took a back seat, but it seems to be coming back. Even a lot of organizations, churches, and so on are putting together model building clubs so they can people can start doing this. And I do recommend to people, if they're involved with any organization, to form a little group and start teaching young people how to do this.
Talking about the Hobby Manufacturers Association, that is where you and I met many years ago.
Right.
At iHobby in Chicago. We both sat on the General Division Council, and we found out we could actually see there was some people within our own industry that were kind of apathetic about where they were going and weren't willing to change.
It was a time where it sure opened my eyes. Because being in the industry all my life, I only had this rose-colored glasses that it was an industry that will be there forever. But then as you hear some of the people and you start getting concerned about it, and it was something that really weighed on my heart, that the industry is too important to not make new generations see it and have it available to them.
Well, one of the things that really struck me at one of the presentations was, and this is kind of a mindset, and now I think a lot of those who had this mindset have come to the realization that they better change it, or they're out of business, or they're gone from the industry already, and that is, hobby shops were for boys and men, craft stores were for girls and women. And there the two should cross. But that's really not true these days.
No, not at all. In fact, when I was in the retail end, I was amazed how many I didn't realize at the time, but there was many young girls who were loved building models. They did a we had the shop I worked in was both a hobby and craft shop, and yet we had a lot of girls come in and building models, cars and so on. I mean, a lot of girls are very interested in cars, so they were doing this, and it just doesn't go. Crafts are for women, hobbies in general are for men. You know, they cross back and forth. And I think that it's the kind of thing that, again, we need to let that be known, that this isn't, in fact, the hobby industry is looking on how they can combine the two more successfully. What it's going to take is a lot of time. But it's a possibility that you may see more and more of the hobby and craft industries working closer and closer together.
And I foresee that too. And again, it was at that time we were trying to say, wake up, because you know you may have this image in your mind that hobby shops are for guys and men and boys. But in this country, and it's kind of a sad state of affairs in some ways, there are a lot of single women raising kids.
Exactly.
And even in families, it's typically the mother who is controlling the budget and who says, okay, what is in this for me and my child? Because they're that mother grizzly bear, you know, protecting their children. They're the ones that are in the hobby shop with either sex child, mm-hmm. looking at opportunities to expand their interests.
Well, the other thing, too, we have to, a lot of science projects where you are in school, you're to build a science project. Again, the hobby shop comes in, the model builder comes in, and that's where they get their first introduction to it. And then once they get that, the interest starts building from there. So it's, I think we're going to, personally, I see the industry going in a very positive direction. I think we went through a period where we it sat back and thought it would take care of itself. But many people in the industry now, I think, feel as though it needs to be cultivated, for lack of other words, and let people know about it again. And I think we're in the, you know, the availability of different products, new products and so on is just wonderful. Just taking one industry, I mean, or a couple industries, you take the radio control division or the trains, the innovations that have come out in for those both those fields is amazing. And so I see that the industry itself is healthy and will continue to grow.
Yeah, I think we're seeing, as with anything, there's ebbs and flows. And, you know, what was very popular back when I was a kid in school, as you mentioned, science projects involving, you know, getting to the hobby shop, that went away. And now we've come around to realizing its potential again as an educational tool.
Right, right. And once that person walks into the hobby shop and sees what's there, their mind just... I think they're overwhelmed with what is available. It's getting the people back into the hobby shop and letting them see what is available. Once they're there, it's like a kid in a candy store.
This is true. Well, Alan, we're you know running out of time here. I know you've allocated some time this morning to spend with us. We appreciate your support for the show. And again, if anybody has any questions about the Excel products, you can visit excelhobbyblades.com, all one word. If you have questions for Alan, you can post them to the show's Facebook page or drop them to the mailbag at theplasticscalemodelinghour.com, and I will forward them on to Alan. Again, it's been a great time talking with you, and I look forward to hopefully getting to see you at the IPMS Nationals in Colorado, and then we talked a little bit about that.
Right.
I think you're working on being there.
Right there, and then we do have, I can give you a quick update. They are, last year they had the iHobby trade show in Cleveland, and it was the first year they had it there, and I've received word that they're moving it back to the Chicago area this year. It will be in Schaumburg. It's about 15 minutes from the O'Hare Airport. And so they're moving back there. And if any of your listeners are in that area, it will be in October. Keep your eyes open for the dates. And I think it's going to be a great time that they can come. There's 2 days open to the public. And they will have a chance to come and visit us and many of the manufacturers and see the different what's available.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's about the only time that I actually get to see you in the trade shows because you're on the West Coast. I'm here in the middle of the country. But again, thanks, Alan, for being on the show.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you, and thanks for all you do, Gerald. I really, really appreciate it. And if we can be of assistance in any way to you or your listeners, please let us know. We'd be glad to help out.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're able to hear this program due in part by the generous sponsorship of Grex Airbrush and the support of companies such as our guest this week, Excel Hobby Blades. As a way of giving thanks, we offer all of our sponsors and supporters a chance to share a bit about themselves and their products here on the show. This gives you an opportunity to ask questions and get direct answers. So you'll want to stay abreast of the happenings on the show's Facebook page. There you can post your questions and comments about anything related to the hobby or the show. You can do the same thing on the show's homepage as well. You can also share a comment with us by leaving a voicemail via Skype. Our Skype address is the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Or you can use either your computer or smartphone to record a message and email it to us. Who knows? Maybe we'll include it on the show. If you want to be a guest or suggest a guest, if you want to promote your scale modeling event, organization, or to learn how you can support or sponsor the program, contact us by email. Our address is mailbag@theplasticscalemodelinghour.com. Fellow scale modeling enthusiasts, remember, it's not the workbench that makes the model, it is the modeler at the workbench. This is Hawkeye. I hope you can tune in again next week. Until then, happy modeling. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour, talk radio for scale modelers, is produced, copyrighted, and syndicated by 0-60 Marketing, LLC, Neenah, Wisconsin. Accelerate your business with 0-60 Marketing. The reproduction or rebroadcasting of this program is prohibited without the written consent of 0-60 Marketing. Until next time, see ya!
That's a wrap.